When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Let's begin this morning with Thought Leader Thursday. Chuck Garcia is here. He's the Executive Vice President and Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. Chuck, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thanks. Good to be here.
I understand you've just returned from a banking conference, and we've set up the slide projector here so that we can show some slides of your visit and talk a little bit about what you found out there. Tell us about the conference and why it's important that we're focusing on it.
Well, the Windy City Summit is a long-standing Chicago kind of regional-based cash management, now treasury management type of conference. It's been in existence well over 20 years. It's a really, really good regional conference. There's typically a very large national AFP conference, and this is one of the regionals put on by the Chicago chapter. It's very well attended. A lot of people, again, from the region that participate in this, both banks, vendors, technology vendors, and then most certainly the corporate treasurers, assistant mm-hmm. treasurers, people of that nature participate.
So you come away with this kind of having, you're really a finger on the pulse of what is trending right now in the industry. What would you say was the number one trending thing that people were talking about?
I think number one is probably the whole thing we've discussed in a few different sessions of real time, faster payments. Where is the industry going? What does it mean to consumers? What does it mean to corporates? A lot of sessions around that. Obviously, fraud is still a very significant, and I'm glad it is, topic that is out there of, you know, what can corporates do to protect themselves? What do technology/banks vendors have to help them with that? And I think probably the other side is really around rates, you know, with the drop that occurred mm-hmm. and kind of flipped the table on people. There were a number of sessions there. And I'd say the last one is probably continuation of utilization of cards as a vehicle to enable clients to both get paid, be paid, and that continues to be a significant topic. And we're well into that life cycle, but I think the evolution of that continues to be of interest to people that haven't utilized it to this mm-hmm. point.
I want to pull on a couple of those. First, the rate question, the rate topic. This is, I think, anybody in banking, we've had a lot of conversations, period, about this, about what the Federal Reserve is going to do with rates. Are they going to just stay on the sidelines and keep them where they are? We've even heard discussions of maybe a rate drop later this year.
I think that's becoming more and more anticipated at this point where, you know, when we started the new year, I don't believe any of us believed that. I think we saw a slow continued march upward. And I believe there's a very strong belief that that will happen, if not this year, perhaps next year, if the trends continue.
What do you think will be the deciding trends here? Because we've seen, as we speak this week already, some really good data points. Consumer confidence is up. We've seen some other things that suggest that maybe the economy's not going backwards like we thought it was. So what will be the deciding factors?
I think inflation's a key piece. Mm-hmm. I mean, does it begin to heat up? I mean, we're probably even, some would argue, even more than full employment right now. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem to be a problem in the marketplace. Wages are not out of kilter. I think they're continuing to grow, but at a very modest pace. I think that, you know, if there's some shock, if you will, to the oil side of things or housing, things like that could perhaps change that course. But everything seems to point to a very stable, continued march upward in terms of employment and then slow inflation. So I think the idea that they will stay even at least and perhaps drop is very, very probable.
What would a drop do to the banking industry?
It will hurt. It will hurt. Obviously, we have deposits that we priced out, you know, 6-9 months ago that at that point in time, again, anticipating a higher rate, you know, look at CDs and things of that nature, which they're not paying that much. But when you have such a thin margin to begin with, those are going to be in existence for a while. They don't reprice as quickly as, mm-hmm. say, a money market or things like that, or instruments like that, I should say. So it will put a crimp on banks without a doubt.
So what does that do to the planning? Are you having to go back and look at financial planning from your standpoint, from the bank standpoint?
Painfully, yes.
Yeah.
Probably started 45, 60 days ago where things flipped and we did not, you know, ourselves and most other banks did not anticipate that. Absolutely, it put a significant change in how we are looking at the remainder of this year, what we're looking at near-term rates, but beyond that as well.
I had seen late last week that 80% was the thinking of a potential rate cut by the end of the year.
I'm hearing similar things. I'm hearing more of the cut happening next year if we continue on this march. But, you know, look, I've been wrong pretty frequently of late, so who knows? Yeah.
Well, we'll stay tuned for that. The other thing you talked about from this conference was fraud. Is it me, or have we not seen big cases of fraud in the last 6 or 8 months since we saw the, was it Equifax breach, right? Are these things not being reported, or are they just not happening?
I would say they're not as far-reaching. It's happening every day. Mm-hmm. I can tell you every single day there's some level of fraud. You pick it. Is it card fraud? Is it wire fraud? ACH fraud in particular today is of significant concern in the industry with our clients. Email takeover, it sounds so simple, and it's like you shouldn't do that. Happens every day.
You mentioned something there, ACH fraud. We all know what ACH means. What's the fraud part of this?
Well, so a fraudster gets control of a client's credentials. So they track them, see what they're doing, and then at the right time go in and create their own false transaction or transactions. They don't have to do them in mass, large quantity, but they hit them, and that money, now with same-day settlement of ACH versus a two-day settlement, it goes much quicker. Not as quickly as a wire transfer, but it certainly goes quicker, and it's a little more difficult for corporates to be able to see that money gone because they're not getting the notification immediately.
How do you combat something like that from both standpoints?
Diligence within the client base of don't click on emails or links that you don't know. Don't click on you get an Amazon card and all of a sudden get compromised. But the other side is banks and technology companies absolutely have tools to not eliminate but mitigate the opportunity. There are fraud alerts. There are blocks that you can put on your ACH accounts not to have certain debits hit, for example. So there are a number of tools that can be utilized.
And what is the recourse when something like this does happen? Are the people who are victims of this fraud, are they out? Is this a...
Well, ourselves and other financial institutions, we will go and try to recoup those funds. But if it has already gone into the system, depending on whom it is, where it went, that gets more and more difficult to occur. We had a recent situation, and I was shocked. We were able to recoup over 90% of a significant file that went out. I would have expected it to be, you know, slim to none, but we actually got a significant piece back. But that is not a typical scenario.
Are we catching any of these fraudsters? Or are they still sort of the anonymous come in and rob you and leave kind of situations?
That's it. I mean, it is, since it's technology fraud, tracking them down is incredibly difficult. They'll hit one place today and be off to another entire different location or country, for that matter, the next day. So it's I'd say the capture rate is incredibly low.
Let's talk about... this is an interesting story about the number of ATMs falling for the first time. And after I thought about this story, after I read it, I thought, you know, I don't go to the ATM that much anymore. How prevalent is the ATM usage, and why is it falling?
You know, when I saw the article you sent, I was surprised. I would have expected it to be modestly growing. But that data point, as you reflect back, it's like, well, you think about people's utilization of their cell phone, of different medium to pay bills, to they can get cash. They don't even need cash in most instances.
Right.
So the need for the ATM of a dispenser, if you will, of cash is typically going to be in a lot of cases for the younger generation in particular, almost an exception versus, you know, myself, where that's the rule. If I need cash, I'll go to the ATM. So I was surprised at the article, but when I reflected back, it does actually make sense.
Yeah, and it left a question in my mind, the reason behind the drop. Is it because that banks have cut back on the number of branches that they have, and so those ATMs are gone? Or is it people just not using them?
I'd say multiple elements there. There was absolutely a trend a number of years back where banks were not opening branches at all. So they expanded the ATM network significantly. So pretty inexpensive to put up an ATM versus a full service bank. You don't have to staff it, et cetera, et cetera. So it was a movement. So my guess is that probably outstripped the need within the marketplace, and now it's probably contracting back to where it needs to be to actually service the people that are wanting slash using them.
Which is more important for a bank, having an ATM network or getting people to switch over to use their phones and other digital sources?
Well, practically, utilization of the phone is going to be a much more far-reaching, less cost opportunity for banks to be able to, I mean, basically utilization of a person's phone and creating that network within your banking system is much, much cheaper than building, supporting, because an ATM, even though it's not people and intensive per se, you still have to keep it running, you have to stock it. So all of those things are expensive.
On the flip side of that story is another story about the number of smart ATM deposits gaining. Tell us, first of all, how is an ATM different from a smart ATM, and why are these customers using this, and why do banks like that?
Well, I think this has actually been around for 10 plus years, I'd say, and it really started in the gas station and convenience store world, where people were actually utilizing what's called a smart safe. It was on premises. Instead of you stacking up cash and then going back and counting it, and then the armored courier gets it, or you run it to the bank, whatever the case may be, the safe counts it, the safe stores it, it's locked, nobody can get to it until the armored carrier gets there and takes either the cash out and replenishes it, or it'll replenish itself. So it's been around for a while. It does not at all surprise me that it could catch foot in much broader arenas if it can be cost effective for the retailer. It continues to be problematic only in the sense of getting the money to the ATM. There's risk there. So if I'm John, store manager, and it's 11 o'clock at night and I'm bringing cash in, there's still risk in that situation. So people are more averse to that, more because of the personal risk of that person than losing, you know, $800 of cash. But if you can make it cost effective and the locations can be such that people can get to them, it absolutely is a medium that can be used.
Are these trends that we're talking about with ATMs, are they different in other countries? Are we unique when it comes to the two trends we've been talking about, or are we seeing it differently in other countries?
I honestly don't have a great view on that one.
Okay.
That's one I don't have a lot of insight in. I would say Europe has probably been way in front of the U.S. in terms of ATMs, so that would not surprise me. But beyond that, honestly, I don't really know.
Chuck, how can people get a hold of you and have a conversation if they want one-on-one?
Can always email me at charles.garcia@associatedbank.com or 312-544-4346.
Good conversation as always.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll see you next time.
Chuck Garcia, Executive Vice President, Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. He's our thought leader today. We do our thought leader conversation every Thursday here on the Opening Bell. And remember, you can listen to past conversations at WGNradio.com on the Opening Bell page. Follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter, and head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership to hear more conversations and learn more about our thought leaders there.